We're going to grab a very familiar passage and dissect it a little bit. And if you're one of the many note takers here, which I'm glad you are, you'll look in there and say, it wasn't that long ago that you brought a message out of this passage. I'm well aware of it, and yet the Lord brought me back and gave new insights, and it's like, well, let's go at it again. And it began to reveal reasons why this is necessary. So we'll as you look up Romans 12, if you want to, just two verses we're going to take and just really mess with today. But they're powerful verses. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm bringing this from the New Living Translation. And I was really debating New International, New King James, but it just, the way it read, and I usually like the way for preaching up here, the New Living Translation. Every so often, because the questions still come up, Tony, what Bibles do you use to study with? I use the New Living for reading out in public a lot because it's more modern where people understand it. The books, the Bibles, the translations I study from are the New International and the New King James Version I use a lot. And so those are my more down-to-earth, serious study Bibles. But for public reading, I use the New Living Translation. So there you go on that. And there's lots of commentaries, and we'll talk about that someday. If you want to know what to look up online, or I know that you go look online. I'm still old-fashioned, and I have all these sets of commentaries and all the parsing guides and all that. Anyway, Greek, Hebrew, and you name it, and go into all that. But anyway, that's what I use. And let me just read this, and then we'll kind of go into it in the background. He says, "So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice." So a lot of your translation just gets right on with it and says, you know, give your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. It's the same thing. It just reads a little more modern English. Give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you, and that means your reasonable service and for what He's done, and let them be a living and holy sacrifice. And people have trouble with this. I've been asked a lot of questions when we're going into this today. How do you offer a living sacrifice? Well, we'll talk about that. But it says He wants you to offer your body a living sacrifice, the kind that God will find acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship God. Don't copy the customs of this world. Now, if you have another translation you're looking at, you know, it says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it'll read that way, and then the New Living just says, don't copy the behavior and customs. Same thing, but says a different way. Behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The renewing of your mind, changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So let's grab hold of this and take a big whack at it. Now, let me get this right, because I wanted to publicly say this in case you missed it. Our bylaws, by the bylaws, require us to announce at least 2 weeks in advance of any business meeting in the church. So that will be next Sunday, two Sundays. Business meeting. In 2 weeks, so be sure you get that. We have a director's meeting today. That's a yearly meeting of the directors. If you have anything you want to, you know, directors here today, would you hold up your hand? There's one. There's Pat. And you see that? Where's the rest? Back here. And who's sneaking by me? Way back. There's Justin back there. Ways that I want you to know them, if you have anything that you'd like for them to address in the director's meeting, speak to them. You know, anything. That's just recommend. After church, we'll be meeting, and they'll bring it up, and we'll talk about it. There's your shot. So you can pick on Pat over here, and you can pick on Ann back there, and the other side of her is Justin. And if you have anything, just tell them, and we'll talk about it. But in 2 weeks, we'll have our business meeting, you'll have some stuff here to take and look at. And so whatever questions you have, be sure that you address them in 2 weeks, because when we have the business meeting, that's just for a vote, and we don't get into all that discussion like we used to do in other churches. So enough said on that. I was going to say that before I started, and it hit me. I forgot. Got to announce it. So let's go back to this, not talk about business meetings. I used to have to take all kinds of stomach medication before a church business meeting, because I knew it was going to be a... Y'all ever been through one of those? I mean, oh, my Lord. You know, you don't know. I've seen things raised on the floor of a church that you're just going, what has that got to do with God, Christ, church, anything? But there it is, you know. And anyway, I think once or twice there were some issues over the clothes I wore. My suits weren't pressed right or not. Silly stuff, you know. So that's why we don't do all that. We do all that before. So back to this. It says he wants you to give your body a living sacrifice, okay? And then he doesn't want you to sum those verses up. He said, I want you to give your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Okay. And he says, I want you to not be copying the behavior and customs of this world. I want to tell you, friends, if there was ever a time in Christian history not to copy the customs of the world, now is the time. Don't go into it. And let me say this, and I know that we're going out, and we are on Facebook and all the stuff, and YouTube, and I know I have to watch a little bit, because they'll cut you off. What is it? They put you in jail, you know? And so I haven't been put in jail yet, but I've gotten awful close, and it's like, so if I do, I do. We'll do it another way. God wants you to give the gift of your whole body to Him. But he wants you to do it alive. And you say, this is a strange verse. Where'd this come from? In the Old Testament. And this is no way to try to be gross or anything like that. But in the Old Testament, animals were offered up and they were cut in parts. Okay? I'm sorry, but I know people have issues with that. I'm sorry, but that's the way it was. And that was the sacrificial system. And some of those parts were more pleasing to God. It was all to be given to God, but the animal was killed, and the blood put there, and the blood used on the altar, but the parts of the animal were burnt in sacrifice, or cooked. Do you know what part that God loved to smell more than anything else? The fat. And I don't blame him. There's nothing, really. Like you get on that grill and cook a steak or something, that or your brisket, and that it's the fatty part, the part that kills you. But it's the part that you know that clogs up every artery in your body. But it's so good. And once in a while, I have to tell you, even with all of you know I'm very very strict in my diet and or try to be and all that. But once in a while, I have a breakdown. And I'll order brisket and ask them to give me a couple of pieces of the fatty part because it just tastes so good. Well, God loved the smell. It said he loved the smell of the fat as it sizzled on the sacrificial altar. Isn't that neat? You know, and so I like these physical attributes that God has. And God is spirit, but yet he loves to smell of fat cooking. And so you hang on to that because it's insignificant in what we're offering here. When he says he wants your whole body, he does. But there were parts of the body of the animal that God just enjoyed the smell of or whatever better than others, but he took it off. So here in the New Testament, he says, I want you to offer yourselves a sacrifice, but I don't want you dead, I want you alive. But I want you to offer yourself to me in the same way that animal was offered up. If you look in the Greek, what he really said was, Greek, and we'll bring this out more, he said, I want you to offer the parts of your body as a living sacrifice, which meant the whole body. But offer your body. And so in the Old Testament, they cut it in pieces and offer it to God and all this. So when you offer your body, some parts, listen to me, some parts of your body that you offer to God are going to have more significance than others. Did you know that? And he spells one out here, and one is your mind. So I'm going to give you two things today to look at and to just pray about and to take with you. But as you offer your body, and listen to me, he connects this with knowing God's will. And he's saying this, you're not going to really ever fully comprehend God's will for your life until you give God your life. He will reveal his will, your purpose for being on this earth. The blessings truly come to you when you give God something to bless. That makes sense, right? And a lot of people, they want to be blessed, but they don't understand that to be blessed, I need to be a blessing. And you want to, you know, in your prayers, have you ever thought about asking God to make you a blessing to Him and to His people? God, use me to be a blessing today to your people. God, use me most of all to be a blessing to you. I want you to be happy with me today, pleasing in your sight. And so let's get into this. And let me talk about two parts of your body in particular that affect all the rest. And so one you're looking at up here, and it's the ears. But in this message, it's not your physical ears. It's the ears of the heart. Bear with me? Listen to me. You can hear with your ears, but it's another thing altogether when you begin to hear with your heart. If you want a great relationship with someone, a great marriage, a great friendship, you must learn to listen with the ears of the heart. That's how you get God's message. It's how His Word becomes living, alive to you. It's not just hearing the Word like up here. You're hearing me speak God's Word, read God's Word to you. But you just hear it. But it's when it goes into the heart and you hear with the ears of the heart and you begin to discern, whoa, there's more to this than on the surface. It's when you hear a person's heartbeat. And when you hear with the ears of the heart, it's when I begin to associate with the heartbeat of God. And listen to me, listen. We'll take this back. And God is very maternal. He is, you know. And God, like, you know, He says He shelters us under His wings as a hen shelters her chicks under her wings. But God's very maternal. But listen to me. When a baby's in the womb, what is it connected with? The heartbeat of the mother. We don't get it. We don't take that and move it over into our Christian walk when you're, what are you? Born again. We're to be in the umbilical cord of God, the Holy Spirit, sensing the heartbeat of the living God and knowing His movements are our movements. His life is our life. And so few people tie in to the heartbeat of the living God, not connected. That's where we're to be walking and living. Hearing His heartbeat, knowing His life is our life, because He's carrying us that way. All of our lives connected to Him through the umbilical cord of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And He wants me to feel His heartbeat, His spirit beat, His moving. And to be in touch with Him. And so He wants me to learn to hear. He wants us to learn to hear. With the ears of the heart. Where we know Him and He wants us to learn to hear. Listen to me. When you hear with the ears of the heart, you begin to hear, you know, with feeling. Compassion. And here's a word that seems to be, it's like it's being removed from all of society. You know what? It's empathy. People, we're not feeling what other people feel. Listen, when He says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep, do you know what He's saying? I want you to hear their heartbeat. I want you to go past their words and their expressions and all the stuff they're doing on the outside. And I want you to hear their emotional heart beating. A lot of marriages could be saved if both would sit down and stop just hearing words, but hear the heartbeat of the other person. There's not a woman I counsel, and I've counseled many of them, that hasn't expressed in one form or another one thing that she wants, just one thing she wants from her husband. And you know what I've heard over and over? I wish he could just hear my heart. And I've heard some guys say the same thing. I want him to hear my heart. What's she saying? Same thing God is. I want you to hear my feelings. I want you to hear what I can't put into words. I want you to know me here. Isn't that neat? Well, I think it's neat. Anybody else think it's neat? I don't think it's neat. He wants me to have pity. He wants me to be filled with compassion. He wants me to have strength. He wants my heart tied to his heartbeat, literally, so I hear what God hears. When you pray to God, do you think God's just listening to words? Or is he into your heartbeat? Does he know your feelings behind your prayers? The scripture says the Holy Spirit even prays for us because we don't even know how we should pray, and it with groanings and utterings that we can't even understand. That's what God's doing. And you see, God in his relationship with us, he's tied into my heart. Oh, I'll fumble a bunch of words out here, but God takes those words and says, oh, I know what you really mean. I know what you really need. I hear you, son. I got your heart. I'm tied into that. Do you hear mine? Do you know what I really want, what I'm really saying here? When I say I want you to offer your body a living sacrifice, do you get it? That I want you to start hearing. I want your ears. That's an aroma to me, like that fat on the altar. And we'll get to the other one too, the other part. That's really an aroma to God. I want the ears of your heart given to me so I can take and transform you inside. Oh, we hear so much here, but what do we hear in here? What is God telling you this morning? What is he saying here? Where is he moving in your life? Do you hear God telling you right now that he loves you? He forgives you? That he's with you and for you? He'll never leave you or forsake you? God is hearing you with feeling and empathy. The same thing he asked God has. He wants your heart. The problem today is so many hear only what they want to hear, not what they must hear. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. There are many antichrists, and then 1 John said that way back when, but there are today, there are many antichrists that's gone out into the world. What we're seeing, no way, I don't like being political up here and all that, but it's just in our face. What we're seeing, we label it as socialism. We label it as this and that. But you know what we're really seeing? We're seeing the Antichrist at work. Because socialism, communism, all the isms, those are the devil's religions that oppose God. This is deeper than socialism. This is spiritual warfare. And it's God at war against the devil and his antichrist who want to take over a nation that has stood for good in this world. More Christian people have been here. I'm not saying this has been we've been the greatest in Christianity, but friend, there's been great Christianity in this place. And now the antichrist is in office and at work. But remember this, Jesus defeated the leader of the Antichrist, the devil himself, at the cross. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, he crushed the devil's head. And if we start claiming that power and hearing from the heart, don't listen to what the speaker of the house is saying or a whole lot of what the news is saying. Listen to what God is saying. And I'm believing and praying Just like when the Israelites went into the promised land, God said, I will send the hornets and I'll drive out your enemies before you. And he'll do it again if we come together and we start hearing with the heart. Don't let them get to you. Get to them. Listen to God. Stand strong in His Word. Give your body a living sacrifice. And it's important we do it to not let any part of yourself be contaminated by the stuff. And so I'll say it because this is on the air and it's not a big deal. But I will say this because I mean it. If the president has nothing else to do but worry about Mr. Potato Head, I know who the Potato Head is. Seriously. And you're going to ban Dr. Seuss? Seriously? What's next? Don't ask. We don't want to know, do we? And I'm not out here to beat on anybody, but I'm saying, God, help us. And all this is smoke screens, and all this is to distract. The enemy loves to distract you and confuse you. You keep your focus, and you hear what God's saying. You hear what God says in His Word. You hear His mission for your life. You hear what He says here. You need to know His will for your life. Well, let me move on. The second part of your body that God really wants are your eyes. He wants the ears of your heart, but He wants the eyes of the soul. It's the eyes that see God working in the midst of despair. If you don't think God is working right now, you're missing it. Let me tell you one thing I see God doing out of many. You ready? God is exposing who the Antichrist are that we never knew about. They're coming to the light. And I'm going to tell you what I'm praying for God to do. And I ask you to join me in praying. I'm asking God to do with them, to drive them out, yes, but even do more than that. I'm asking Him to do what He did in the Old Testament, turn them against each other. Because that's one thing that the bad guys always end up doing is turning on each other. And all we need now is pray God's Spirit to move them along. Turn them like a pack of wolves on each other. Fresh meat, go get them, get each other. And I'll tell you something, if just one of them falls into trouble, if one of them starts blabbing, you want to see a pack of wolves turn on each other and people, oh, not me, just pray and it'll happen. Pray and it will happen. Take your stand, write your senators and do all that, but pray for them. Lift them up to God, your senators, your congresspeople. Listen, this war, listen, we've lost some battles, but the war is not over. Everybody with me? You've lost some battles in your personal life. Everybody here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the war is not over. God wins this thing. And He says, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. But we've got to hear that in our heart. And we've got to see it in our soul. You know what God wants you to see in your soul? He wants you to see His Holy Spirit moving across the face of the earth right now. Right now, His Spirit is moving. He is touching people. He is at work. Don't let all this clamor and noise, all the ruckus and the confusion and distraction, don't let it take your eyes and ears off of Jesus Christ. God just taking this and He said, Tony, God, come on, get in here. Bring this message. Let me use you to bring this word to say, give me your bodies, especially the ears of the heart and the eyes of the soul. So you can see me moving. So listen, when you have eyes of the soul, you can discern, good from evil. You can discern truth from lies. You can discern God's people from the enemy's people. When you see with the soul, when you see in your soul, you're looking through the outward, you're not fooled by anybody. Pray to God to let you see with your soul. Because that's where discernment is. That's where wisdom is. It's in the heart and the soul. You can see through deception. You can even see when I'm up here, if I'm off the track, you'll know that too. I hope you pray every week. Please, God, keep Tony's heart filled with your Spirit. Cover him in the blood of Jesus and keep him on track with you. Do that. Every church should do that for their pastor. Do it for each other. All right. Got to wrap this up pretty quick, so let's go to the next thing. Okay? And that is the gift of a God-controlled thinking mind. Okay? How'd I put it up here? I don't know what I said. The gift of God-controlled thinking. I scratched out, changed it. And what is that? He said, listen to this. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Let him transform your mind. Friends, can I ask you a question here before I go on any further? How many of you in this room have a little trouble changing your mind when it's made up? Is there any hard-headed people in this? Okay, okay, well, this is going to be a rough crowd to deal with. All right. In case y'all didn't see, most of them raised their hand. You ever just bite into something and you know the truth can be standing right there and you know it's the truth, but you're just not going to change your mind? Okay. Now I'm down to people. There's this going on. We're all stubborn, aren't we? At one time or another. And then there's just some that we just call hard-headed. And isn't it hard when you bite into something and you just really blah, 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 and you're just really going at it, and then you really see that you're wrong? Isn't it hard to say you're wrong? Most people would rather just keep fighting than to say, oh, I was wrong. How many of you will continue a fight just out of pride? Be honest. Okay, there's some. Okay. God honors that, and we have fun with that in here. You're the most honest group. I'm serious. I've been in pastor churches. Nobody would raise their hand. Now, I will tell you that on questions like that, there would have been one or two. I've seen this in other places, and they'd lift their finger and go, but not me. Not me. But here's what God wants. He wants me, and He wants you to be hearing, listen, you see this? Hearing with the ears of the heart and seeing with the eyes of the soul to the point to where when He shows you something new in His Word, when He wants to give you a new direction, when He wants to say to you, I want you to give to me that temper, that stubbornness, those cuss words that come out, that habit, whatever it is, that instead of you clinging stubbornly to it, you're willing to say, it's yours. I want you to do whatever. Well, God, I don't like them, but I want you to do this for them anyway, and you do it. But He has to have my heart and my soul. I have to be hearing, see, His heartbeat, because that makes me in His image like Him. I have to be seeing with His eyes, the eyes of the soul. To be able to see through ornery, cantankerous, stubborn, hard-headed people, rude people, ill-mannered people, discourteous people, unbelieving people. I need that mind. I need that heart, you see? That soul that can see through that and see people that are going to hell if they don't have Jesus and to minister to that part, whether I like them or not. And friends, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that are headed towards the great abyss, right into hell, and God's people better get active, because our mission, listen to me, our mission is not to change politics. Our mission is to change lives. And change the life, and you change the political viewpoint. Now, you've got to call and you've got to do, because there's bills out there, understand? And I'm promoting that. But get serious about giving yourself to God so He can use you to change the heart. And people believe in Jesus, and we won't have to be worrying about this stuff. You won't have the Antichrist to contend with. Let me give you some points on the God-controlled mind and we'll get out of here. A God-controlled mind. You said, how do I know if my mind's controlled by God? A God-controlled mind does what? It puts God and His Word first. A God-controlled mind, when something's going on, thinks, what's God's plan here? What's God's will here? What does God say in His Word about this situation? Instead of getting mad, getting upset. When I watched this bill, do you think I've been upset over that house bill? You want to strip the states of their rights? I don't want you doing that. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want dictators. I don't want any. And I got all upset. And then God has this message and brings me back saying, I thought we were working on that. God has a sense of humor. Sometimes I say things back to Him like, well, you are. I'm not quite there. And it's like, now I'm going to make you preach it. Oh, God. Because if I preach it, I have to try to live up to it. Because you're all looking at me. Because and really, you know, you don't want to do this job. I tell you, because you bring this stuff, and then somebody is going to say to you, Pastor, you just preached on that 2 weeks ago. And how many times has that happened to me? I'll bring something up here, and then I'll inevitably trip up on it. And it's always polite and nice, but it's funny. But I just go, and it's like, what did you say about a God-controlled mind? That's why you don't hear many messages on the tongue. I'm afraid to preach on the controlling your tongue. Because I want to yell at drivers on I-10 when I'm coming down here. So a God-controlled mind, it puts God in His Word first, and it seeks God's kingdom first. Secondly, a God-controlled mind, listen to me, a God-controlled mind rejects anything and everything that opposes God. I want to say this. One of the things that the Antichrist, the enemy's trying to do, is to move you away from God's biblical standard. And let me tell you, here's the way it is. God, this non-gender thing is not in the Bible. God created man and He created woman. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to trade who God made me in His image to be for what society says they want me to be. Thank you. Thank you for that. Because, and you need to grab that and hold firm. And don't let your kids go for it, or your grandkids, or anybody else. You stand on that. He isn't non-gender. He made male and He made female. And He didn't make a neutral thing. So you can take Mr. Potato Head, and they say they're going to take Him, make Him gender neutral. And what does that prove? Nothing. If all you can do is shave a potato, you really don't have enough to do. Okay? But for you and me, you're a woman, you're a man, you let God make you the most beautiful woman in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that we're talking about. And you're a man. You make God make you into the strongest, bravest, most courageous, loving, giving man in your heart, in your soul that God ever made. I mean it. Instead of trying to change to be something else, just change to be who God put you here to be. I've heard some programs, and they've got these sensitivity programs now that the government is always pushing in businesses to make you less this and less that and more sensitive. You know what? That's what we're talking about. If they just listen to the Word of God, He'll make you sensitive to other people's hearts and needs, and it goes across the spectrum, race, color, creed, it doesn't matter. A true born-again Christian loves everybody and hates sin at the same time. So a God-controlled mind rejects anything and everything that opposes God. Thirdly, a God-controlled mind refuses the worship and love of anything in the world. Well, you say, what does that mean? It means a God-controlled mind rejects the idea of worshiping money or power or earthly influence And it also rejects tyranny, monarchs, dictators. The God-controlled mind rejects anything that puts people in control of other people. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, we have to have leaders and bosses and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dictators. I'm going to tell you who's the one and supreme, and it's God. God made the earth and everything in it. It all belongs to Him. He made us, and it's going to be a big, shocking thing for a bunch of people one day when they find out that God did not give them the authority to rule people. God has the authority to rule people, and only God. I don't know. I'm thinking here in this, what are you doing, Tony? Running for office? No, God, no. But I'm running for God's office. And I want to tell you about a God-controlled mind here. It seeks the knowledge and understanding of God's Word, God's Son, God's Holy Spirit. Grab all you can know of Him. We wrap this up saying this. The God-controlled mind. Listen to me. The God-controlled mind, in the end, is a mind that does what? That hears with the ears of the heart and sees with the eyes of the soul. And the God-controlled mind looks up, like it says in Colossians, and keeps itself in Jesus Christ. And the God-controlled mind says, I hear your heart. I see your spirit at work. And I feel the change in my life, molding me, making me into who Jesus Christ wants me to be. And out of that mind and that heart and that soul flows the Spirit as a river of living water. And worship happens. And I become grateful eternally, every day, forever grateful to God, thinking and praising and honoring Him because He is my all in all and all I'll ever need. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now that's worth a spam bite, wasn't it? Yeah. Let me pray with you. God, thank you for each one here today. Thank you that the Spirit, your Spirit, is alive and working. Sense His presence. Feel your power. We know it in our soul, in our heart, in our mind. God, lead us as we go from here today, tomorrow, through the week, to think your thoughts, to feel your presence, to hear that heartbeat, to see your Spirit working. God, keep us on that straight and narrow path so we can do these things. Keep us walking in the Spirit. Keep us loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving each other and our neighbors, ourselves. God, forgive us our sins. God, heal us, cleanse us. And I pray, Father, that you will bless these, your people. Bless them and keep them. Lift up your countenance upon them. Make your face shine upon them. God, give each and every person here your protection, your anointing, your blessings, your prosperity, your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you for being here this day.